Somebody tell them no cross.
No cross.
No crown.
No crown.
I know a whole lot of us are thinking to ourselves, I'm following Jesus. Everything going to be all right. Remember, he had nail scars in his hands. Remember, they took him and they nailed him to that tree. But on that third day, he rose again. And if you want to experience the power of God, you have to go through something. How many of you all are going through something? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad I'm going through and not staying in it. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. I want to invite you to a verse of scripture today. Unusual passage. I've never really spoken from this passage, but it's in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to be talking about your field. Your field. Listen to what happened in the Bible. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel near the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden because it is near to my house. And I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you what it is worth in money. Verse 3 says, but Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. Let me say that again. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. And Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat bread. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to talk about protecting your field. Protecting your field. You might need to bring it down a little bit. Yeah. Can y'all hear me now? Amen. As we think about protecting your field, the things that God has given you, you need to be aware that in this life and in circumstances that we face, you will be under attack. But be of good cheer, you've already overcome the world because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You don't need to fear, you just simply need to be on your guard. You need to be on your alert. You need to be aware of the fact that something is always out there that's a threat to you. Something is always going to be there where it may cause you to jeopardize your walk with the Lord. Are y'all listening? You can't take it for granted that once you get saved that everything is going to go well and that you will never have problems. As we just said, no cross, no crown. You've got to understand that as you go through this life, there's going to be some ups. And Lord knows there's going to be some downs. Anybody can bear witness to that. Some of you have faced those down experiences in this life because as you've gone about, you see that Christ is with you and you don't have any problem with that, but also the devil is lurking. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, walks about, roams this earth looking for someone, not that he can just poke fun at, but he wants to devour you. I don't want you to be afraid of that because you have Christ who's overcome. You have him that in Christ you have the victory. Are y'all still here? But I'm concerned that the church primarily and a lot of our younger generation specifically are giving up too much of their field. Facebook has ruined some folk. Folks don't know what to say, saying anything. Are y'all here? You're giving up too much ground. Everybody don't need to know your business. They're not that concerned about you. Amen. I got off Facebook because it made me too nosy, Jesse. I was looking at and seeing, well, what they doing? I had to get off. I'm a recovering Facebook addict. But the children of God should always be aware of the threats and temptations that would overtake them in this life. As we will study in this verse, we notice that the children of Israel had been brought into what's known as the Promised Land. Now be very specific about that. The Promised Land, it meant that every tribe had their specific boundaries. They had their specific geographical area that God had placed them there. They didn't buy the land. It was given to them. It was a gift that God had said, you're going to live on this land. And when you die, you give it to your next of kin. Give it to your children. Pass it on. My concern is that the church is leaving only a little of its spiritual inheritance. We're letting things slip away. We're letting the enemy have too much of the truth, and we're speaking and living too many lies. What's going to happen to the next generation when you tell them, let's pray? What is prayer? You got some folks that say they are believers, and they don't even believe in the ordinance of baptism. Communion doesn't mean anything to them. Yeah, I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell it today. I'm going to tell you everything. Because you need to protect your field. You need to protect the spiritual investment that God has put in you. If you don't do it, the devil going to take it. Anybody talk to me today? Now we are seeing that people are not so concerned about folks getting saved as long as they get something uplifting. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? It's all about positive thinking. It's all about developing your mentality. It's all about being successful, but not really being Holy Spirit filled. Are y'all going to pray with me today? My question is, what are we passing on? If you're growing a field of mess, how in the world do you expect a miracle? Yeah. The devil wants to take my voice, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to preach as long as I can. And when I get a hoarse, I'm going to whisper. You must protect your field. God gave it to you, and he wants you to keep it. As a matter of fact, God wants to work through you to do some awesome things. But if you piddling with that and messing with this, you're going to lose your blessing. If you worried about what she said, he said, they said, you're going to lose your blessing. If you worried about people paying attention to you, you're going to lose your blessing. Look at somebody, tell them, protect your field. The church, which used to be the pillar of the community, We just here. Ain't got much power. But we got a whole lot of gossip. Don't have much truth, but we talking. What is going on in your field? If you would allow me just a few minutes, I want to take you into this passage because I think it speaks specifically about our generation and what's happening today. Naboth, somebody you would never hear about, It says he was from a town called Jezreel. By now, in this sequence of events, the northern tribes, which are 10 tribes, had located up into the area of Samaria, and now they had split from the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Just giving you a little bit of Jewish history. As it turned out, that some of the people had resorted into worshiping Baal. Baal was the god of fertility. That was the god that said, you know, you just do your own thing, just whatever you want to do, you know, just as long as you're happy. There was no allegiance to God. And so, non-spiritual leaders came into power in northern Israel. Now, it had its impact in Judah as well, but God kept calling them back because somebody kept praying for them. Look at somebody and say, somebody kept praying. The northern Israel had turned its way to the devil, worshiping Baal. Ahab, one of the most ruthless, godless, and senseless leaders of northern Israel is in power. And Lord knows he had a wife, and when I mention your name, you're going to say, oh yeah, I know her. Jezebel. Jezebel, the last part of her name meant that she was devoted to Baal. Not to God, but to Baal. Now would be a good time to ask the question, what are you devoted to? Well, Pastor, I just want to have fun in life. Fun can't be your God. That's a Baal. I just want to get high every now and then. Getting high can't be your God. That's a Baal. Well, I just want to get out there. I'm young. I want to sow some wild oats. Sowing wild oats is a Baal. If you don't worship God, you're in bondage. If you're not serving God, you're hooked on something. You got to turn your attention to the living God. Can I plead with you today? Do not follow the example of those who are turning away from God. Follow the example of those. I know they look old-fashioned. Here they come getting up, dressed up on something. Where are you going? Going to church. What's a church? Do you not realize that the number of our young people are not baptized, they're not a part of a believing congregation, and yet in America we say that Christianity is the dominant faith? Well, what kind of Christianity are you talking about? Are y'all going to talk to me in here today? I'm talking about being a member of the blood-washed group that believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing and confessing our sin to Him, growing up in Christ, being our foundation, and standing strong in the power of God. That's the kind of church I'm talking about. Second time, look at somebody, tell them, protect your field. Now, from this, we want to glean a couple of things today. First of all, we got to understand that if you do not protect your field, you're falling into what I call spiritual damnation. You can be religious, but be religious for the wrong reason. And if you are to not take caution, your spiritual field will be unproductive and may even cause you to suffer great destruction. Now, I believe, I'm one person that believes that once you're saved, you're always saved. I know somebody might disagree with that, but I'm going to tell you something. God is not to be mocked. When He puts His mark on you, when God really saves you, let me tell you what's going to happen. He doesn't do a halfway job. Did God halfway save somebody in here? Once you confess Christ and meant it in your heart and believed on Him, now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You get to fooling around, God will take you out of this world. Because He's going to protect His investment. He's going to protect what He put in you. If you ain't watching your field, He's going to watch it for you. Do I have a witness? Back to Ahab and how this applies to our life. I'm not going to be very long. I know preachers always tell you that. It ain't going to be long. 45 minutes later, he's still into it. But there are a couple of things that remind us of why we should protect our field. And Naboth was a classic example of why you should protect it. Number one, it is God's gift. It's a testimony that you have that God gave you something. Some may shake their head and say, I don't know what God gave me. He gave you life, fool. He gave you breath. As grandma said early this morning, he touched your body. If God didn't do it, the devil sure don't care about you living. So it is a gift from God. Your field is a gift from God. And Naboth, when he responded to Ahab, he said, I cannot, God forbid, that I should give away this inheritance, because it went back to God. When they came out of Egypt, they had no place to live. They were totally homeless. Nobody had a place where they could drive down the tent stake and say, this is my home, until God gave it to them. Let me come down your street. I know you say, I work hard for this house. Who you think gave you the job? Had the man to give you favor and look upon you, say, I'm going to give you a raise. And you say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to work on paying for my house. God gave it to you. And in case you're wondering who owns the deed to everything in this world, Psalm 24 haven't changed. It was a couple of verses over from where you read this morning in Psalm 26. Psalm 24 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For that reason, on Sunday morning, we ought to come to church with our fields of praise, so much bearing praise that we would say to God, thank you for everything that you have done in my life. Praise you. We're here to praise God. Here to praise God. But the second thing, the field demonstrates faithfulness. It demonstrates faithfulness. Naboth was not afraid to say to the authority of that day, you ain't getting my field. Again, Ahab was ruthless. He didn't mind killing folk. He didn't mind having his way. He didn't mind saying, I want that, and then going and taking it. Because that's the kind of person he was. You're living in a ruthless world. And for that reason, you don't need to go about with fear, because you've got God on your side. And I spoke of the devil a few minutes ago as a lion who destroys. But do you know you got a bigger lion with you? He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Amen. He called Jesus Christ the Righteous One. To you, he looks like a lamb, but to the world, he's still a lion. Oh, y'all ain't gonna get that. You're not gonna get that. So you've got to honor him. You got to worship him. You got to praise him. And when you do that, you're passing on to somebody who's watching, or to the next generation, it's all right to praise the Lord. It's all right to give thanks. Young people, it's all right to lift your hands and give God thanks. Young people, it's all right to go on your knees and pray to God because of his goodness and mercy. It's all right. It's all right. So it's your testimony. It's your feel that you have. And you're demonstrating faithfulness. You're demonstrating, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to see this through to the end. But the third thing about it, it's a place where you can bear fruit. Fruitless Christians are really not allowing God to work in their life. Fruitless Christians are being blessed, but they show no signs of taking that blessing and doing something with it. Naboth, please write this down in your notes. Naboth had a vineyard, which meant I'm growing something on it. I have something in my field that I need to protect. I have something in my life that God is doing, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not going to change it. Everybody trying to give you new, improved stuff. I got to hear them preach, but I got to take these pause moments, because we're trying to get some new and improved. You can't improve on Jesus. You know, you can improve your praise, but you can't improve on the one that you're praising. Because he's already perfect. You know he's good. Matter of fact, take a praise break, because during this week, things could have happened, but they didn't happen. Stuff could have gone down, but it didn't go down. God made a way out of no way. He brought you through some stuff that you didn't think you were going to make it, but the Lord provided for you. Yes, he's just that good. Look at somebody, tell him, yes, he's just that good. He is just that good. Before you take your seat, look at him again and tell him, protect your field. Couple of things, and I'm going to my notes. I'm going to go and close this down. But the first thing is that God gives you authority. No other authority can force you from your position in Christ. No other authority can force you from your position in Christ. Don't let people push you to the edge and ask you now what you're going to do. I'm going to lift my hands to him who saved me all the time. I'm going to look to the Lord who is my strength and my blessed hope. You have authority. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. That word power means authority. Naboth, how in the world could he resist a king who had given a command? How could he resist it? He could do it because he had divine authority. He was of a tribe in Israel that God had given the land to, and he said, this is the portion that God gave me, and I don't care how bad you want it. I don't know what you want to do with it. Some vegetable garden. What does that sound like? You want to raise some potatoes, and I want to glorify God. You want to raise some tomatoes, and I want to give God praise. You want to come in and sow some foolish stuff, a salad patch, and I want to give God the glory for how he kept me. This is my inheritance. When you got born again, you were given an inheritance. Not only in heaven, but on this earth. Great God Almighty. Can I talk to you? I wasn't going to preach it right now. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, it sure can't take it away. Circumstances can't change my joy. I don't know what you're growing in your field, but I'm growing some joy. I'm growing some peace. I'm growing the fruit of the Spirit. I'm growing patience. I'm growing faith. I'm not growing how to argue with you and win. That ain't growing in my field. How I can get to the top any way I can. That's not in my field. But how to love Jesus and how to love you, that's in my field. And I want to be outstanding. I said I wasn't going to say it today. I want to be outstanding in my field. No matter what happens, I want God to look upon me and say, I'm pleased with you, the work that you've done. Say after me, I have authority over my field. I have authority in Jesus Christ. I have authority. Second thing about this is ability. Now we get to the strength. God has given you the divine ability to do certain things that you could not do in your own flesh. When you yield it to the Spirit, we talked about that in Sunday school, how that you need the power of the Spirit in everything that you do. The warning is, don't compromise who you are just because of where you are. that'll preach. Naboth was standing before the king, but it still didn't change what was in his heart. I know some of you will say, well, I just out with the crowd and everybody else was doing it, so I did it. Hello. I heard an echo. Say amen. Well, you know, I got weak. You know, I got to that place and, you know, I was right by the ABC store and I felt depressed, so I thought I'd go in and get me some spirits, some libations. Am I talking to y'all today? Am I messing with you? I want to help you. I was the same way. I was doing the same thing. Amen. I couldn't afford Jack Daniel. I had to get Old Crow. But it's the same thing. Depending upon the bales of this world to lift my spirit. Depending on my dependence on things of this life to get me through. When there was that nail-scarred hand of Calvary reaching out to me all the time, saying, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the light. I know some of y'all hear me talking about drinking and smoking and doing stuff, you know, but I used to sit in the pew also, and I used to hear preachers preach the same thing. And one day the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. One day God got a grip on my heart, said, you don't have to do that anymore. I'm available. I got a well of living water. I used to do the same thing. Man, I'm telling you, I was happy when a tall person was in front of me. Then I could hide behind them. But you know what the Word of God would do? It'd go right around them and hit my pew. Come on, somebody. And God would be talking to me. Are y'all listening in the building today? And one day God spoke to my heart, said, you got to check your field. You got to get it right. In Christ, we have divine ability. Because the same God that called you out of darkness, called you out of your Egypt, the same God that spoke to Naboth, that's the same God that's speaking today. His truth endures forever. And he gave Naboth that ability to stand in the face of a monarch and say, I'm not going to sell out. I wish we had people of our day, in this day where Christianity has become so political. Now you got to be right or left. I just want to be in Christ. Amen? Amen. It ain't about who you vote for. It's who you know. And I know the man from Galilee. I know he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Amen? Jesus don't need no vote. He just needs you to open your heart. Ah, can I preach to you today? The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 1 and 21 and verse 2, and Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden because it is near my house. And I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you what is worth in money. And Naboth said, the Lord forbid. He didn't just say no. He said, God told me to tell you no. The next time somebody wants to invite you to do some crack cocaine or invite you to do a liquor party, anytime they tell you, you tell them, the Lord forbid. Because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Amen, somebody. I feel my preacher help coming on. You've got ability, you've got authority, but then you have accountability. Accountability means you have to report to somebody. Naboth was including God in his life because he knew all that the Lord had done for him. He knew that God had brought him out of darkness. He knew that God had smiled upon his life. He knew that God had been a way maker in his life. He identified so much with God that he could not just give up his field and do anything with it. So he stood, and the king backed down. And I know y'all thinking that's the end of the story. That ain't the end of the story. Because guess who Ahab was married to? Jezebel. He came home sulking. He came home disappointed. He came home all mad. And she said to him, what's wrong, honey? And when he told her, Naboth won't give me his field, Jezebel went to work. Somebody said, oh, Lord. She said, don't worry about it. She wrote letters to the leaders at Naboth's town. Town of Jezreel. She said, now I want y'all to set him up. Call a fast. Set Naboth up in front of everybody. Then have two vain persons. The scripture calls them vain fellows. Sons of Belial, which means they'll do anything for anybody because all they got in them is to do bad. Now would be a good time for me to ask y'all, what's going in your field? Can people talk you into doing stuff that you don't agree with? So they got up, two witnesses, after they set Naboth up, and they said, we heard this man say that he blasphemed God and he blasphemed the king, and we need to stone him. Two people. Got one innocent man put to death. Two people. They lied on him. You think you've been lied on? You ain't the only one. You think you've been talked about? You're not the only one. Because guess what they did with Jesus? They brought a whole bunch of false witnesses. Couldn't even get their lies together. Look at the Bible telling you, you better get your lies straight. Couldn't even agree on anything. But when they came down to it, they condemned Jesus. So if you've been lied on, if you've been condemned, you're in good company. If you've been talked about, you're in good company. If you've been wounded by folks, you are in good company. Amen. I know a whole lot of folk that leave the church because somebody talked about it. Listen, you can't avoid that. It's everywhere. But I thank God it's not who talks about you, it's who talks to you. When you got God in your ear, when you got God telling you, go on about it, go on and do my will, when you got God speaking to you, you can make it. Look at somebody, tell them you can make it. I'm about to close this message. You got accountability. Now Naboth took his stand and he died for it because of Jezebel. But that's not how the story ends. You know what I'm talking about. About the time that Ahab was on his way down to the field. Man, I'm going to have me some potatoes. I'm going to have me some sweet potatoes. I'm going to have me some Irish potatoes. I'm going to have a whole bunch of stuff in my field. But before we got there, the prophet Elijah met him. And he said to him, you think you can just take somebody's property and not be accountable to God? You think you can just kill and then take the deed to other folks' things? God says, your life for his life. You know what? Before Naboth left this world, he appointed an attorney to represent his estate. I wish I could preach to you like I feel. His attorney said, you might have killed my boy, but you can't kill me because I'm God. Don't you know, saints of God, that when you get to a point in life where you're in trouble, you got an attorney? They call it power of attorney. All you got to do is sign over to them and tell them, get me out of trouble if I get into trouble. Make a way if I need a way. And if something should happen to me, take the deed, Jesus. What? I wish I could preach like I feel today. Look at somebody, tell them you got a lawyer. His name is Jesus. He died on Calvary, but he rose again. Thank God for Jesus. I want to tell you that Jesus settled it all. Jesus settled it all. My soul was in danger, but he was a way maker. I couldn't make it, but God walked with me. He talked with me. He told me everything gonna be all right. Somebody say yes. So what God did, he appointed Elijah to go and tell Ahab, you can't have his vineyard. As a matter of fact, where the dogs licked up his blood, they're gonna lick up your blood. Yeah, you think you got away with something. Hey, man, the paralegal was what Elijah was. He said, I'm just telling you what God told me. So when you tell people that this is mine, that God gave this to me, you're really the appointed paralegal to tell the devil you can't take what God has already. I wish I had somebody. Let me hurry up and close this argument. Let me hurry up and close it. Amen. But I'm telling you, God, and they don't know. When you've been in trouble and you needed a lawyer and you couldn't get out of trouble, you hired the best lawyer in town, but they couldn't win the case. But then you turned it over to Jesus and everything is all right. Can I have a witness here? Oh, and he's not only a lawyer, he's a doctor in the hospital. When the doctor comes by, shakes his head, we've given you every medication. We've given you every operation. I don't know what to do from here. All you got to do is call your doctor. Say, Jesus, be a way maker. I wish I had a witness here today. God is so good and he's so kind. And people are looking at me. They're saying sometime, well, you ain't like this one and you ain't like that one. I'm myself. Because that's who God made me to be. If I try to be anybody else, I would just be a liar. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to shout when I get ready. I'm going to sing when I get ready. I'm going to praise him when I get ready. Because that's the way that we have to give him glory. I wish anybody would just give him glory. give him thanks today. Glorify his mighty name. Ain't he good? I gotta close. But I want to tell you three things. God protects what he provides. God protects what he provides. When you can't watch yourself, he'll watch for you. He protects what he provides. I'm so thankful. All night long, death tried to circle my bed, but couldn't get to me because I had a protector. His name was Almighty God. Can I have a witness here? I got to stop. I know we got to serve communion, but I'm getting happy up here. I'm getting happy because you don't know like I know. You ain't been through what I've been through. You didn't have to endure what I've endured. And guess what? I'm still here in Jesus' name. Everybody say, God protects. But then you also have to realize God expects. He expects faithfulness. Don't be half-stepping on God. The Holy Spirit had to rebuke me last week because of something I could have done. I could have shared my testimony, but I didn't. I kept telling the guy about the military and where I'd been. That man didn't need the military. He needed Jesus. So I asked the Lord to forgive me, give me another opportunity, because you need to be a witness for Christ no matter where you go. Let folk know how good he's been to you. Lastly, before I go to my seat, envy. Oh, y'all done got quiet on me. Envy is so terrible that it kills its victims. Jezebel wasn't happy with him just being put out of his property. She said, I'm going to kill him. And then when Elijah withstood her, she said, I'm going to kill him too. But before she could touch Elijah, God took him away in some chariots to go to glory. Can I get a witness here? You don't have to worry about it because God has you covered. But now, but I close with this. I warn you, don't be envious of what somebody else has. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. If you be patient, whatever God gave to them, one day he's going to give to you. Watch this. If God blessing your neighbor down the road and your neighbor up the road, then your neighbor right beside you, it's not going to be long before he ends up blessing you. Don't envy anybody for what they have, because what they have is theirs. What you got, that's yours. That's yours. Close with this little story. Chuck Swindoll, national known preacher, Bible teacher, told the story. And I'm going to close with this. Two men were in the hospital room. Both of them were suffering from an illness that would take weeks for them to recover. One man was actually seated or in the bed near the window. It just happened that way. The other man was located back near the door. It just happened that way. And each day they sat as they tried to recover from their illness, as they tried to get their strength back. The man at the window would tell the other man, man, it's beautiful outside. Birds up in the trees. Little children playing down in the park. He would tell them about the different things that he would see as the people would walk by. He said, it's beautiful. And rather than that man by the door appreciating that, he kept saying to himself, if I could ever get that bed by the window, everything will be all right. And Ms. Cabler, rather than him taking in what the other man was saying, he became envious. He said, oh, man, I sure do wish I could get that bed by the window. And day after day, the man would tell him, yeah, we see some great things outside. One night, the man by the window started coughing and gasping for breath. The man by the door reached for the doorbell or the call bell for the nurses. But then he put it down. He said, no, Now's my time to get that bid by the window. He put the call bell down, and the gasping stopped. That next morning, medical staff came in, and the person had actually died. While the nurse was removing his personal belongings, the man by the door said, Nurse, since my friend is deceased, do you think I could move my bed over to the window, get a little bit more light? She said, sure, we'll move you over. Pushed him over to the window, moved his belongings over. She pulled back the drapes, and there was nothing but a wall. The other man by the window had made up the stories just to help his friend have a good day. Ladies and gentlemen, what's in your field? Is it envy, jealousy, competition? You don't need that growing. You need the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I'm so excited about Jesus. I got a field, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future that may threaten it, but I know that with you, as my attorney, as my guide, as my leader of my life, everything will be all right. I don't lament about the future and how bad it's going to be, because I'm going to end up in heaven one day anyway. But I'm just rejoicing right now that you've given us a blessed hope. Help us to take this lesson that we've learned from Naboth, to stand firm in the truth and in the victory that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless us as only you can do. Save that one that's nearest hell. And Lord, I pray for those also that are online. Somebody's listening, and somebody's fallen under conviction. Save them today by your grace. And Lord, if there's one in here that would just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, would you redeem them today by your love? I pray in Jesus' awesome name. And all the people said, amen. I'm going to give the invitation. And if there be one today, I don't invite you just to be a part of a church. I invite you to be a member of the body of Christ. He's doing some awesome things, and he wants to work in you. And all you got to do is open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, you take lordship of my life. And he'll do just that. Here we all stand briefly as we give the altar call. Those of you online, you can't come in here, but you can right where you are. Turn that place into an altar and say to God, please forgive me of my sin. And come into my life. And God will do just that, because he's just that good.